Mornings with Steve Beck.
A very good Thursday and Gmar Tov, everybody, those of you celebrating anyway, and even those of you not celebrating. There's no reason why you can't be inscribed in the book of life for a good year, even though yours doesn't necessarily start on October 6th or September, whatever it was, 28th. A busy, busy morning ahead, I think. There is so much to go over in terms of rearview mirror, and this is why I grapple with, I mean, I should not be working on Yom Kippur. That's a basic. But I have in the past, because this is a busy time of year. Let's be honest. And there's a lot to go over. So we missed a little bit yesterday. I hope if those of you that hadn't heard the segments that we pulled up as a best of, and I think sometimes I reach far back for best ofs and other times more recent. So you got to hear that Glenn Wismer piece from with Pat and Dougie Sal from the trip, the end of the trip at Presque Isle. And we went back to Kentucky Downs earlier in the trip. That really fun visit and unique opportunity to meet Dan Issel and the Versailles piece that I think so many people have been just captivated and enchanted. That's a better word even than anything else by what we've seen from the real backstretch team. And I was really quite delighted with the response that Versailles got. The first time he was on, and we had him on TV too with Seth. Moving forward away from that, any cleanup, let's see, from the other day, I should mention the second day of the Timonium sale. The numbers were okay. This was not as deep and profound in terms of opportunities. It was kind of a perfunctory sale result coming off of Keeneland. And, you know, the top end had some, what obviously feel like some nice horses. And then, you know, the rest, that's one of the beauties of Timonium. You get more modest prices and good chance that, you know, the horse that you came away with for modest money becomes something nice by the time they, you know, get into full training and get started on their careers, and then sell as two-year-olds or stay in and, you know, campaign for those that bought them as yearlings or those that bred them. I'll give you an example real quick. Woodbury yesterday, Woodbury Payne, who, of course, you know from the show and from his long, outstanding career and his reputation as a old-school Virginia horseman. Woodbury did me a huge favor. I've been hoping, you know, most of the summer to get Woodbury over to Country Life, where we've got the Motown yearling. And he was too immature back in the winter when the spotters came, you know, to look at babies. And they said, he's just not, you know, he's got to grow some. Well, between February, March, April, and now, he grew plenty. And Woodbury said he looks terrific. He said, whatever they didn't like back in the winter and spring for Saratoga, New York bred sale or for Timonium, and they said basically he was too immature. He doesn't, you know, and he was kind of had some confirmation in the back that said that might put some, you know, put people off. I said, Woodbury, can you look at this baby for us? And so we can make some decisions about how to proceed. And he called me yesterday morning. That was the best call I got. Shouldn't have been taking calls, but that's okay, I see, you know, I see Woody Payne on the screen. I'm going to answer. And Woody said, he looks as good as anything, you know, that he said he absolutely would have fit at Timonium. So we're excited. And the folks at Country Life are going to get him started. Woodbury's got an overflow. Normally, he would develop our babies, and he's at capacity. The Virginia certification program has been such a success, and horsemen like Woodbury that get yearlings and turn them into 2-year-olds in training, they're just, you know, they're at capacity all the time. So we could probably just stay right in Maryland and train at Country Life. So we're excited. But that's an interesting case in point about how your yearling and your short yearling might, you know, just not look like a sales prospect at the time of the year. We went over this when a lot of this with Cormac Brannock at the Keeneland sale and with Buff Bradley. It's an interesting process. So I was excited. I got a couple of great. Maybe I'll put a picture up. You can see him. And he apparently has been. He's one of those yearlings that is always getting into trouble, which I can identify with. I was a yearling that constantly got into trouble. The let me give you the rundown today, and I didn't write it down, so it's going to be. Going to be a bit of a mess here. Let me grab a pad so I can keep track of what's going on. It's Thursday, so in hour 3, we will talk to Dave Hill, back from Vegas, I think, and we'll get some NFL ideas from Dave. He ended up 4-5 last week he had a couple things conspire against them after the huge week, the huge 7-2 week. So we'll talk to Dave as the second quarter, essentially, of the, you know, the second set of 4 games, the way, although now it's 17 games, but anyway, Dave will join us, and it looks like he's got a very interesting gamblers pod this week. So we'll let you tell us about that too. Scott Shapiro in Hour 3, and Shap is doing expanded coverage of Keeneland for Brisnet/Twinspires, and so we'll get a Keeneland introduction for, of course, tomorrow's kickoff, and we'll talk in a second about the fields that came together for Saturday. They'll draw the Sunday cards today between Keeneland, Aqueduct, Woodbine, and Santa Anita. Holy cow. And frankly, there's even other dance card considerations. Those of you that like the action in Charlestown, at Chucktown, you've got the West Virginia Classics, the Breeders' card on Saturday. That actually looks really good. Looks really good, especially the second half of the card, races 5 through 10, 9 by 9 by 7 by 8 by 10 by 10. And the entire, as always, this Charlestown card, all stakes. Well, sometimes there's a starter that they slip in there. No, 75, 75, 75. No, all stakes, including a little $50,000 thing at the end, the blue and gold. I think is that new? So the Breeders' Classics at Charlestown. And actually, we are going to kind of slip in a few other items today. Mary Rampolini is going to join us in hour 1. In fact, she'll join us second this morning. Delta kicked off last night, and boy, their first 4 cards, if you didn't look down at Vinton, back under the lights as well. So that's kind of cool. Delta back on your agenda for those of you that like the Sabine Sand. It's just fun to say Sabine Sand. You have no idea what some of you are saying. What is that? That's the silt out of the river. That's the surface. I'm not even sure what river. What river is it? It's not the Mississippi. It's something else. The Opelousas, or who the hell knows? Somebody, I. Where's my man? Where's Chad? Where's Chad Schexnader? I don't know if he knows Vinton. Anyway, whatever river runs close to Vinton, the Sabine River, probably, right? Doesn't that make sense? It's got to be the Sabine River. They stopped running the jackpot, unfortunately, because of the hurricane. So I never got a chance to go down. I had for years looked forward to a trip to Delta. So we'll get one in eventually. So Mary's going to touch on that. They've got stakes tomorrow night and Saturday, the early season, the Magnolia, right? The Magnolia and the... Here is Chad Schexnader, like a jack-in-the-box, like a genie. I rubbed the bottle, I rubbed my laptop, and up popped, indeed, the Sabine River. Yeah, that makes sense. Why else would they call it the Sabine Sand? pretty funny. The Mary is also, if you didn't see it, I retweeted Brad Free yesterday because the Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority since 1894, DRF, kicked off their Breeders' Cup coverage, and it is invaluable. The seven or eight correspondents that each cover a handful of divisions. So we will get Mary to kick it off. Brad kicked off the coverage yesterday with the distaff. And in one of the first sort of bittersweet indications that Jay Privman is absent and will be absent from the pages of the Daily Racing Form, Dave Grenick takes over the classic division. And I didn't notice, actually. I have to look at the divisions. If Dave traditionally has done the juvenile. So we'll see what division, Dave, if the juvenile and classic would make plenty of sense. So Mary's going to kick off the coverage, her coverage, and her divisions, and we will go through with everybody, Nicole Russo and Brad and Marcus and everybody, essentially, over the next 3 weeks plus into Breeders' Cup. And they will hold our hands and get us through. Mary's handling the Dirt Mile, the Filly and Mare Sprint, and this year the Juvenile Turf Sprint, which is usually a Nicole Russo category. So I wonder if there was some Lazy Susan activities here. Well, we'll get through it. I haven't done all of that. But Mary Rampolini this hour, and after we talked to Tim Martin, and we reached out to Tim on Monday, and he was in the car and didn't get back till Tuesday, and then I couldn't get to him Tuesday. So, and then Wednesday yesterday we weren't around. So Tim Martin with the very exciting Iowa bred that we've talked about already earlier this summer, and things coming to a head for Tyler's Tribe. And speaking of Mary, in fact, Tyler's Tribe looks like he will point for the Juvenile Turf Sprint. So Tim Martin will give you some of the backstory and give you some of the background on Tim himself. All right? So Tim Martin, Mary Rampolini will get visiting with Tony. I want to get Tony Black and let him. Tony was listening to Mig on Monday talk about the situation that came to a head with Sonny Leone getting a 15-day benching. There has been subsequently, and I wasn't here yesterday, right? So I didn't get a chance to talk about what is now the latest conflagration coming out of what just simply should have been a really exciting race, the ACAC. The Lucas, the ACAC was Senior Buscador. But instead of just celebrating what an exciting finish Rich Strike and Hot Rod Charlie engaged in, instead we're dealing with Sonny Leone and the leaning in and the elbowing, as well as photo conspiratorial, flag raising. About the potential that Hot Rod Charlie was wearing stickers, turndowns, which are now illegal, and Doug O'Neill saying he was not wearing illegal shoes. So they're waiting for a steward. Let's see what the stewards, we'll talk to Marty about it tomorrow too. I know Matt Hegarty is following the story, but anyway, that thing continues to, that's, that whole race continues to cause agita. Sean Clancy, we're going to get Clancy in here, and haven't talked to Sean since the end of Saratoga, so we've had a nice he's had a nice freshening. Should be ready to run. We'll catch up on the anticipation. There's actually plenty of fall jump racing that we have not had a chance to talk about. Beyond the Entenmann and the Lonesome Glory opening day at Aqueduct a couple of weeks back. But I know Sean's got a bunch of River D runners, too, this weekend. So we'll catch up on all that and get some other thoughts from Sean Clancy, Dave Hill, Scott Shapiro. We'll get to Seth. I'm going to hold Seth off until the end of the show so that he and I can make some adjustments. They are off the turf at Aqueduct today, which is too bad because and I don't necessarily think that it's going to devastate the card per se, because there's quite a few horses in the four races that were scheduled for the turf. Excuse me, the 4th, 6th, 7th, and 9th. There's quite a few that are going to stay in and run. So and they both, those four races all started out with sizable fields. There were 12. In the first leg and in the fourth, and then the sixth, there were 12. Although Sheriff Blanco, you knew, was coming out. So you're going to get an AE in. So, there's not a ton of MTOs per se. There's some MTOs in the nightcap, which is a pretty murky group. And I suppose that now Central Pride, the 16, becomes the major player, but that's a hungry bunch. So we'll see who stays in and who comes out anyway. So Seth later, and he and I, I've written up the pick six, but I waited to make the, now I'm very happy that I waited to make the adjustments or make the ticket, because it's all going to go sideways. And I'm sure some of you, I hope some of you took those notes from Andy on Tuesday, because Andy gave out his off the turf ideas as well as the main tracks, and I've got them here. Well, and you'll see them. I'm sure he'll revise them at Naira.com as well. Pat McKenna, speaking of Naira.com, Pat McKenna is going to be on today too. So we got lots to do, and looking forward to it. We got a couple of minutes here before we're joined by Tim Martin. And Casey, I got to give you Tim's number because I think I've only ever talked to him one other time. So we'll get you Tim's number. Yeah, very excited for him. And, KVH, Kelly Von Hemels, 3-year-old too, of course, that we were hoping was going to acquit himself a little better. Ain't life grand when it came to the Travers, but so be it. Anyway, he won the Iowa Derby, the Breeders' Derby, the Iowa Breeders, on Saturday. In addition to touching on the terrific Saturday, I mean, your head's going to explode. In fact, I'll tell you how deep and contentious and interesting these cards are Saturday. When this happens, I print. You know this. We've had this discussion. I'm tactile. I gotta have the paper. So last night I go to print. I start to print as the PPs come up, and after sundown, I did very well. I'm not a great faster. I got a little bit of a delicate constitution, so I don't exactly. When people say, have an easy fast, I kind of look away. My mother was lousy at it too, to be honest. And all my habits, all my bad habits, come from her. So I went to print last night. And I printed the third race at Aqueduct Saturday, and then I punched in the pages for like races 5 through 11. At which point the computer says, out of ink, out of toner. Like, are you kidding me? It's 7:15, 7:20, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. And because I knew, I said to myself, I got to go, I got to follow up my 6 month on my retina today. And so I said, well, I'll be going out tomorrow. And I realized I got to have these PPs. I can't wait until, you know, 7 o'clock tonight to start looking at all of these races. So I turned to Tina and I said, honey, I got to go to Saratoga. She goes, what are you talking about? It's seven. I said, I got to go to Saratoga. So I went to Saratoga. I got behind some guy. I'm trying to get to first to Staples is my first choice in Wilton there. And they're closing at 8. So I couldn't make 8 o'clock. So I had to go across the street to Walmart. And luckily Walmart has the Brother Inc. Anyway, so I had to schlep to Saratoga. And I got back, and I luckily was able. I printed everything, so I'm well situated for tomorrow, opening day at Keeneland, and more importantly, Saturday, which is going to be spectacular. Yesterday, before we talk a little bit about Saturday, we got to get to Tim Martin too. As a matter of fact, I'm already in trouble. But yesterday, I got to mention Indianapolis because we did not have a chance to go through the stakes sequence. I mean, I told you there was one, but there was a very impressive. The day was impressive for a lot of reasons. The Miss Indiana Stake, the 2-year-old fillies, pull up that Corning Stone. I don't remember Kenny McPeak mentioning her upcoming start. She had really. You know, she had chased Hot Little Thing home, but she was a dozen lengths in arrears in the back home again. This was a stretch out to 1.70 miles, and she had gone 2 turns at Saratoga. We had seen her here, the Indiana bred. This is 5 filly stable with Reed Ringler as a partner and a Cantheros out of a Street Sense mare. She was super impressive here, trailing early with Julian Leperoux, and then came running and blew by everybody, most notably the 30-cent on the dollar favorite, the Rudy Brissett, Hot Little Thing, who had won going short. She's an Army Mule, and it's clear from this effort, so obviously a pretty big result, first and third for Hillendale Stallions, but the Cantheros filly, she wins by 4 on the chart, and could not have looked better. And then I looked for the figure this morning. She got a 76 buyer. By comparison, the elder fillies and mares got a 77 in the Cardinal. Yeah, that was Climber, the Divining Rod. So this was a fabulous. This was a big at the races festival for the Country Life Farm, as well as Hill and Dale. It is the, you know, all we needed was a Rock Ridge winner, and it would have been the trifecta of breeding operations that we work with. The Divining Rod, bred by Dawn Martin, Climber, she rated nicely. This is a nice. She's also a very, very nice filly, 3-year-old, and she beat Elders here, Climber, under Manny Esquivel. She won by open lengths, but she got a 77. So the 2-year-old got a 76 buyer, and then coming back, 1.70 miles for the Miss Indiana, 1.16 miles for the Cardinal. The 2-year-old boys. King Ice won nicely for George Leonard and Hillerich Racing and LTB Inc. This is a homebred by King Ice out of an unbridled express mare. And the colt, a winner as a favorite at 5-2 with Deshaun Parker. And then in the Too Much Coffee, only a 61 buyer, though, for that one. So the Phillies way faster than the boys. And then in the last stake, the Too Much Coffee, Max Express, an unbridled express for the Lowers. This is a Mike and Penny production, top and bottom. They bred this six-year-old gelding. You got 9-2, paid $10.80. Also notable about this entire undertaking at Indy yesterday, you ready for this? They did $4,350,000 yesterday. Yeah, Indiana has just a great job. Congratulations to Eric Hallstrom and his team. Big day yesterday for Gennaro Garcia, I should mention. I think he won 3 or 4, right? Yeah, right. He won. He broke the maiden with that halu with Gage Holmes, the Bug Girl, and yeah, and then he won an allowance with River Redemption, and he won one of the stakes, I think. Yeah, he won the Cardinal with Climber. So big day for Gennaro Garcia. That was Indy. I wanted to get that in because we didn't get a chance. We would have talked about it yesterday had we had the had we been here. Tim Martin is going to join us next, and Case, there it is. You can get you can reach for Tim, and we'll talk about his exciting, speaking of exciting, regional two-year-olds, right? The action as drawn, I should mention there's a couple of stakes today at Thistle. You got the Emerald Necklace and the Scarlet and Gray. Amadevil back for David Wolochek, and you know we're a big fan of hers. And she gets to use LASIK so she doesn't bleed out of her nostrils in front of everybody. Oh, yeah. The big card, of course, on Saturday, the biggest, Fall Stars Weekend at Keeneland, and the grade ones, plural, you got the First Lady, the Futurity, and the Turf Mile. And, of course, we talked with Todd the other day about Annapolis contesting the Turf Mile, the new Coolmore as the sponsor. And we joked about, in fact, I talked to Lee Einsiedler yesterday after the draw, and he said he got the biggest kick. He said he was in the car listening when I kidded Todd about, I said, Todd, what are you doing with Annapolis? Well, we're going to go in the Turf Mile. I said, well, you can't beat Lee. So we got a big kick. But Casa Creed and Annapolis end up lining up shoulder to shoulder. Santin in here, of course, for Brendan Walsh. This is a very, very interesting race. Look who's here, the Order of Australia. Speaking of of jockeys with controversial elbows, Christoph Soumillon. he of recently unemployed by the Aga Khan. Soumillon is going to ride Order of Australia Saturday. And, of course, the site of his biggest win, the shocking stunner, when Aidan O'Brien ran 1-2-3 in the Breeders' Cup Mile at Keeneland, 2 years ago? 2 years ago. Smooth Like Straight is in here, Classic Causeway, on and on. Some Like It Hot Brown. There is a lot of pace, in this race. So the Turf Mile is going to be terrific. The Futurity drew a dozen, including, as Todd had told you, Todd Pletcher told you, Forte in here. And he's also entered Lost Ark. You've got Honed for Kenny McPeak. McPeak trained, by the way, it's McPeak that trains that that filly from Indy as well that he didn't tell us about. So it's a terrific group. Kenny's also got Frosted Departure that he did tell us about in this group. The First Lady, Chad has got half the field, and that's not unusual if you're going to draw six. Technical Analysis in Italian and Regal Glory, but Princess Grace for Mike Stidham. Shug brings Vigilante's Way. You got Market Rumor in here for Ian Wilkes. Wilkes seems very quietly poised for some nice opportunities. The TCA with a whole bunch of familiar faces, including Lil Tootsie. Lil Tootsie, as we talked with Tom Amos, coming out of the race at Churchill, turning back. So we'll go through everything later, and certainly with Marty tomorrow. The races in New York, the Vosburgh, the Matron, and the Joe Hirsch at Woodbine, the E.P. Taylor, the centerpiece of a five-stake Saturday card, the mile and a quarter grade one, as well as the Near Arctic, where they will sprint, and the Durham Cup, a very good card. We'll talk to Ron Gierkink tomorrow. And out west, a lot of the things we were alluding to, like the American Pharoah and the Chandelier, the Rodeo Drive on Saturday, and then way more to be drawn for Sunday today. Right now, happy, really happy to bring Tim Martin in, and the story that is really started in the summer, Tim, right? I mean, the kind of burst on the scene with this Iowa bred, and it's only getting, you know, better and more attention. You're turning up on every radio show. You'll be on the Today Show, you know, by the middle of next week. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
I'm great. Tim, Tyler's Tribe, this is a fun story. And you and KVH, you and Kelly Von Hemel, you've got Iowa breds with something extra.
Yeah, there's a couple good Iowa breds. Yeah, yes, sir. Very good.
It's exciting. Talk about this two-year-old and, you know, some of the backstory. You and Tom Lepic, and this is a Sharp Azteca gelding already. And, you know, the Sharp Aztecas came out running, and he may be the best of the Sharp Aztecas, no?
Yeah, it looks like right now he might be the better one. There's a lot of nice Sharp Aztecs. They're winning and running good on dirt and turf, so he's looking like a pretty nice stud now. He started out at $5,000 stud fee. I look for him to go pretty good this year.
Well, let's talk about picking them out in the sale first. The Iowa sale in 21 as a yearling and $34,000, which, you know, it frankly sounds like a fairly, you know, solid price, you know, for that sale, especially not knowing what was going to happen with the Sharp Aztecas. And I'm guessing you and Tom picked them out. I mean, talk about buying this horse for starters.
Yeah, me and Tom, we've been partners before, and we kind of own a couple horses, and we was looking for an Iowa bred. He got the one in Iowa bred, and be partners again. We've been good friends for a long time. And so we was going through some horses and pedigrees, the book and all that. Well, he come across a picture of this Tyler's Tribe, and when he sent me the picture and the video of this horse, I'm like, my goodness, this don't look like no Iowa bred to me. And so we jumped in and went and looked at him, and he looked confirmation, big, nice, stout, beautiful horse. Looked like he should be selling to the Keeneland sale. But anyway, so we started bidding on it. I said, well, let's buy him. I mean, this horse, we didn't, the pedigree, yeah, Sharp Aztecs, 2.4 million horse, $5,000 stud fee. The mama made 57,000. There really wasn't nothing to go on except the photos of him and the horse, the individual. I mean, he looked like a nice, nice horse. So that's what made us buy him. We got the bidding on him, and he was a high bidder for the high sale horse for the sale. He was a top horse, and $34,000 was a lot of money, you know, a year ago.
Cause, sure.
Iowa breds wasn't bringing nothing. And so this year they really increased. I mean, there was horses sell for 60 and 40, and I guess everybody looked for another Tyler's Tribe. I don't know.
Well, they may be looking you know, for a long time. I mean, it was one thing for the three-year-old, Kelly Von Hemel's horse, and we've talked to Kelly about Ain't Life Grand, you know, but he's a Not This Time, and you know, there was sort of some expectation. This, you know, you're buying a first-year stallion, and you really don't know. So you just picked him out on physical, and then talk about getting him started. You know, where did he get his early training?
I to my training center. I have a training center in Hot Springs, me and my brothers, Royal Training Center. Got a 5/8 mile track, and we started there and breaking him. And my gal boy, he's been working for me like 20 years. He goes, when we first went to track, put him in the round pen, and he's really a level-headed horse. He's real smart. He's not crazy. He just smart, really a smart horse. And the first day, he started tracking him, backtracking him. Well, we got other horses galloping. He didn't spook nothing. He just went backwards, backtracking around the track like he been there forever. I mean, he's really intelligent. He's like, man, boss, this is a smart horse. He's, you know, and from then on, he just started, we got to train him and start breeding him at the farm. I breezed him up to about 3/8 and halves at the farm. And I put him with an older horse, and he just dusted that older horse that could run a little bit. And I'm like, wow, this horse can run a little bit. I mean, so we went from there. We had some gate work, you know, some gate work in him at the farm. So we went to there, went to Fred Meadows, got him there a little early, trying to get him ready. At first I told Tom, I don't think we'd run this horse till he's 3. He's too big, you know. And he is a big horse. He's probably pushing 17. He's close. He's big. He's tall. And so I was a little bit hesitant about running as a 2-year-old, but he just started doing so good and taking everything so good. Then we decided to run him as a 2-year-old. So.
Well, he debuted in June, and he had already been gelded. He was gelded, at least was reported, May 31st. So you made that decision.
I did it in training back when I was breaking him. I just gilded him. I used to gild most of them. I got a gun runner I bought before gun runner got good in the January sale, and pretty nice bred horse, and I gilded him too because I didn't, you know, I've never had a horse that needed to be a stud until now. You know, until.
Well,
in the past we hadn't had that problem.
Well, and you know, we always say under these circumstances, because people look at what the horse is doing on track, and they say, "Oh, it's too bad he's a geld." The problem is, you just don't know. I mean, if you don't geld him, who knows? Although it sounds like he was pretty level-headed anyway, but still, here's the good news: you got a horse, Tim, that clearly is thriving on work too. I mean, It feels like you trot him out there every 4 weeks.
Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, things worked out good at Prairie. After his first race, the state come up and them races come up, you know. I think the first few races I was like 3 weeks and 3 weeks. And then after that it was like a month. And so it's worked out good for him where I didn't, you know, have to overtrain him and, you know, keep him just feeling good and happy and trying to keep him focused, you know, without running too much and all that. I didn't want to do that. And the race at Prairie worked out. I mean, they worked out perfect for us. And that's why we stayed for Classic Night. That was about 4.5 weeks. So everything has been good for him because he's a 2-year-old. He's just a 2-year-old. But he runs, you know, every time he runs, he don't, even the first race and everything, he don't even blow. He acts like he ain't done nothing when he pulls up. And the rider every time is like, I got more horse left. This horse is something. The first time that we run him, she come back and her eyes bugged out. She's like, wow. And he went 52-1, 4.5 under hand ride. So she's like, man, this horse is fast. So I was a little hesitant about running the 4.5 starting out, you know, because I told Tom, I was like, this horse is big. I don't know. So I talked to Kylie and she working him. She's like, oh, no, he's fast. He can go short or long. I said, you think he's that? She said, no. He's just galloping. He's got such a stride when they're running. He just gallops along, and they're running. So anyway, he's a big horse. You know, it's funny because a Benton Salmon, a friend of mine, he said I was talking to, 2 races ago, he said I was talking to his wife on the phone when he's running. And Tyler, this horse went with him a little way. And she said, it looks like a Chihuahua trying to keep up with a German Shepherd. He's so big, you know. So, kind of funny.
Unbelievable. That first performance earns a 16 3/4 length win. You mentioned Kylie. You're talking Kylie Jordan. And how cool is it that you know that she latches on with him and with you? Because all this attention, it's good for her, too.
Good for her, too. And I like it. I mean, she's been around a long time and at the track. I've been going to Prairie Meadows for 20 years. I started there in 2002. So I've known her since she was a kid, and her family, and all good people. And so she's riding good, and we chose to put her on there. And she's done everything just right. I mean, you couldn't ask for no better. She's calm. She set the horse good. He knows her. She knows him. They get along good. So, and they run good together. You know, they do.
Well, that's tremendous, and she was. You know, she still had the 5-pound bug. You even had that advantage when Tyler's Tribe debuted. 16-length win, comes back in the Prairie Gold Juvenile, and that was against Open Company. Wins by 8 and change. Then the Iowa Stallion Futurity wins by a dozen. Then the Prairie Freshman, that was at the end of the summer, at the end of August. This one, a 15-length romp, and now on Saturday, the Iowa Cradle, and 6 lengths, but basically in a canter.
In a canter, yeah, that's what the announcer, he's like, yeah, he was holding him down, so he, I'm just setting on him, and he, yeah, he's done everything, he's exceeded our expectations. We thought we had a nice horse, but I told Tom, and I've told him before, in the paddock the first night, because of Tyler, his grandson, you know the story probably about that, had leukemia, and we named the horse after Tyler, and yeah. Tom wanted to do it, and I said, yeah. So the first night that we run him in his debut, Tom said, I talked to stewards, and Tyler's here tonight. So, and Tom was passing out T-shirts, like Tyler's Tribe T-shirts, had boxes of them to everybody that was there, like throwing them out to everybody. So everybody's putting these shirts on, over their shirts and stuff, you know, putting them on. Tyler's Tribe, the first race. It was funny because you don't know for sure until you run what you got.
Sure.
So Tom tells me, he goes, I talked to stewards, and I asked him, if the horse don't win, if we could get the winner, the pitcher in the winner's circle with Tyler, my grandson, because he's here. And I said, you tell Kylie? She done left out of the paddock. He said, no. I said, we got to tell her. I said, but Tom, I think when this race is over, we're going to be getting phone calls on this horse. This is a nice horse. You hate to brag him up because you never know. There's such thing as a morning glory. It's hard to tell until you race them. I've had a lot of morning glories I thought was runners. They couldn't run hard at all. So you hate to say much, but I really felt that he was so smart and just done everything so easy. I felt like that he was a really, really nice horse. But as nice as he is and what he's done, no, I didn't expect that because, you know, I'd never had a horse to that level before in my life, ever had anything, you know, that could run like him.
Well, you know, you mentioned, Tim, you did mention that you mentioned the training center and, you know, the background. You know, you're an Arkansas horseman and, you know, you're – your family, I mean, your brothers, right? I mean, you guys have had your share of nice horses. It's not like this thing fell from the sky.
No, we've had nice horses. We've won a lot of stake races and nice horses, but nothing on this level. You know, this horse has, I had never had nothing like this that beats him so bad every time. And, you know, he's won 4 stakes in a row and broke his maiden and wins by distance every time. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Kylie sets on him trying. She keeps saying, well, I try to get a little company to see what, you know, but nobody's been able to stay with him. I mean, so far. So, I mean, I know we're going to a different level, but this horse is, he acts like he does everything so easy. You can watch him when he breaks every time. He's been on the inside or outside every time. The 10, 1, 1, 6, 6, you know, outside. But he breaks like a rocket when the doors open for such a big horse. And then if they want to come to him, that's okay. He'll set with him a little bit. But if she moves on him, he takes off.
Unbelievable. Well, let's take it to the next level after these now 5 wins, 5 for 5, and you know, came back with another nice fig, an 89. But you know, he wasn't challenged, and he basically cruised home. The talk is that we're going to talk to Mary Rampolini next, actually, and the reports indicate that you are going to consider the turf sprint.
Yeah, I didn't get what I wanted. I hate to go. I couldn't really go nowhere with him because of home, because of Tyler, and the Iowa Classic, because if I run him in the route race, I would like to have got a route race in him. You know, you're looking at
sure.
the Breeders' Cup, the best horse in the country, two-year-old. So I don't want him to get beat up. And so I told her the last time when we hit, I said, when you hit the wire, I didn't talk to stewards, let him go on out, gallop out. Well, we hit the wire. I don't know if she misunderstood me or what, but she stood up on him. And I didn't really sit down and keep running. So I don't know that he knew that, you know, he's run five times and never stand up on the wire and he galloped. So he galloped around okay, but nothing that I was excited about. And he, I don't think he knew because she's kind of stood up on him and just let him gallop, you know, and stuff. I kind of wondered, I guess I didn't explain to her good, but I wanted to ride him on out to the three-quarter pole where he'd go out a mile. And if he had went in 37, you know, that would have been like, yeah. But he went in 39 change, just kind of galloped out. So that wasn't enough for me to put him in a long race. I want to keep him, you know, I want to keep him. I hate to see him, you know, not lock it, because right now he's fast, and he's really fast, and he's not been challenged. And so I'm thinking, you know, even my brothers, they train, and they're like, don't put him in long first time, get some kind of horse. And it's smart, you know. So, but we kind of talked about it, but I'm going back to the sprint because I know he's fast, and I think he'll like the turf because he's bred for it. I mean, his dad mom run good on it, got some siblings running good on it. I think we're going to, and I don't think that this horse, if something happens and he don't leave real good, I don't think it matters because that's a farm. We was letting him lay back off horses and stuff, teaching him, and he'd just go by him. He didn't care. You know, he'll rate. When you said, he'll actually, and Kylie says that, he'll rate. He don't have to be on the lead. I mean, he get there, but she's like, he'll just, until you move on, he just sit there with him.
Hmm.
So.
Well, that becomes a question of, essentially, of where he draws, and unbelievable. For people that are looking for comparisons, you know, we talked on Monday doing the recap about the horse of Bob Baffert's, Speedboat Beach. They're doing the same thing, essentially, and we talked to Mike Pegram. Speedboat Beach is going to go to the juvenile turf sprint. He won his way in that speakeasy. Got a 75 buyer. He on the dirt, he had triple digited a 104 in his debut, but at least there's a read on him on the turf, and he didn't necessarily look like he was loving it either. So this is going to be one of those great David Goliath stories, Tim. Tyler's Tribe showing up, right?
Yeah, my brother Philip, Martin, he watches all the horses, everything. As soon as the horse runs good, he's like, hey, what about this? So when Baffert's horse win the other day, he texted, oh, this horse is fast, fast. I said, well, that's good, Philip. I mean, I said, but Tyler has never, he does a 21:44 in a gallop and then takes off. I said, that's on dirt. So if he likes the turf, I don't know. He's going to be fast. It'll be interesting because Tyler is just, I mean, 21:44 is a gallop for him. I mean, so far. He's not even been running. So the jockey says, we don't know. I don't know how fast this horse is. So there, we've not had to ask him, and I hope he, you know, I know, but that horse has come up and questioned that horse of Baffert. He ran a big race. I mean, you know, definitely. So I was hoping he stayed on the dirt, you know.
Well, how will he? You've already shipped. You've already gotten him to Keeneland. Will you give him a gallop or two over the grass? Or you know, you've got the synthetic track too to use there.
Yeah, I plan on next Saturday, a week from Saturday, because they just run, you know, last week Saturday. So I plan on a week from Saturday. I've already got lined up to work him on the turf. They start to work on turf on Tuesday or Saturday. So he'll start back to tracking tomorrow. I got him here on Tuesday and walked in 2 days, just let him, and he's feeling good, eating good. So new place, but he's pretty mature already for a two-year-old. And that's what helped him a lot, I think, is he's so mature. He kind of has got it together. He knows what he's doing. He's not crazy. He don't act up. He's just a good horse for a two-year-old. The gilding may help him, I guess it did. You know,
well, your training didn't hurt, and this is one of those stories that this'll. You've already been approached all over the place, this will be one of the fun stories leading into Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I think so. With everything, it's been great, and the horses, even though he's in Prairie Meadows, it's not that, you know, I just want to run the Breeders' Cup. I mean, I would like to. Everybody would like to, but you kind of want a good shot at it. And this horse is beating him. If he was winning by head and the neck and the length, I wouldn't consider. But this horse is winning. Even when they ship some pretty good horse there, he beats them pretty bad, pretty easy. I don't know. I mean, I know things will be different at the races, you know, at Keeneland, but he does it so easy that I have to take a shot with this horse. I just got to take a shot. You know, I was ready to go home. Kind of a long meet at Prairie Meadows, but I'm going to definitely take my time for this horse, because I hadn't had a horse like this before in this caliber that I. And so hopefully everything will be good and he'll run big in the Breeders' Cup. That's what we're hoping for. So,
are you going to? You said this was going to be a horse that was going to produce some phone calls. How many offers have come your way, or for people to buy him outright?
Yeah, I've had quite a few offers. Yeah, had quite a few offers on him, and I haven't. The last race, nobody's offered because the word's out. We're not selling him. He's not for sale. So, me and Tom don't want to sell him. We're enjoying the ride. So, you don't want to sell him, and I don't want. So we're good partners, me and him. And he chose. He said, I don't want to sell him. I said, we got some good offers on him. So I said, hey, you don't want to sell him? I don't want to sell him. That's okay. He's making enough money to feed himself. So, so we're good.
Well, there's at this juncture, I always trot out the great quote from Harry Alleo, the late Harry Alleo, who owned Lost in the Fog. And Tim, he had the greatest line, which was, people said, "Mr. Alleo, you've been offered so many millions for this horse. Why haven't you sold?" And he said, "Well, what am I going to do with those millions except go out and try to find another Lost in the Fog?"
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, pay for him. My line is, I've heard before, and I told it yesterday in a show, I said, you can't put a price on fun. So what's fun worth? You know, you work all your life and you have fun with something you enjoy. I enjoy the horses. I enjoy doing it. I mean, we go out and spend, hundreds of thousands for cars and boats and vacate, all this stuff. Well, there you go. So, and there's no return. But this year, we're having a return and we're having fun. So me and Tom's loving it. We're enjoying it. It's all good story, and the boy, he's coming. He's come to every race, Tyler.
That's great.
And he's free of cancer now. I think this really helped him. He really gets excited, and he's been every pitcher so far, and he'll be at the Breeders' Cup, so we can bet on that. So he's been there every time, and it's been really, really good.
Unbelievable. It's so great.
Lots of people. We're having, I think the other day, when we went the other day, there was 130 or 40, well, they usually get about two or three people to wear a Circle Prairie medals. And they come from all over to watch this horse. And all the Tyler Tribes t-shirts and everything. And people cheering and cheering for him. It's funny because when he leaves the gate and he's with the other horse, when he pulls away, they start cheering like he's already won the race. It's pretty exciting.
I love it. You know, you mentioned family. And Tim, I've talked to Bill over the years, and give everybody a little background on how the whole family ends up in the game, in the industry.
Well, we started, we lived in Hardy, Arkansas, and we from a little town there, about 600 population, and we broke horses. My cousin had, and my dad, they had cutting horses and show horses, and we done all that, so we learned to ride at a young age. We rode everything, broke everything, had a school for horses. So they brought Brunks and everything. So then we started, me and Bill, we started breaking some thoroughbreds for the Lane, Herb and Doc Lane, and then Jim Schultz sent us some horses down there for one of his clients. It was kind of rank. So we would break them horses, and then we kind of bought a horse or two because thoroughbred, because we thought, hey, this thoroughbred might make a little money. These quarter horses, their trophies is not real great, you know. They don't pay the bills. So we got into thoroughbreds like that. And then when I was about 18, I went to Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's about 200 miles. And I went down there with Herb Lane, and I was like, man, I'm going to move down here. I love this place. So when I was about 21, I moved down here. And times were tough and rough, but I had a horse or two, and my brother went down there with me, Bill. And Steve was in a while, but then Bill went with me, and then here comes Joe. Wind up, the whole family moved down there, my dad, mom, everybody. So we all live in Hot Springs now, so it's pretty good. So we just got to mess with horses and struggled, and, you know, win one race a year or two races a year, you know, just get whatever. And then I get to get some clients. And like 2001 or two, I started getting some clients. So it was pretty good. And Charlie Chappell, Rodney Morgan, them. And so we had a lot of success there. So it just escalated and got better and better. So now my brothers, Joe and Bill, they train. Joe's kind of retired a little bit right now. So he's got a family and all this. And he kind of wants to take a little break. But Bill's still trained at Prescott and Iowa. So me and him still in it. So that's kind of where we're at.
I love it. And, you know, we should mention, for those that haven't seen Tim's record over the years, you've had really a tremendous 10, 12, 15 years that got you up over 1,100 wins, 1,142 wins. And actually, and of course, this horse is contributing, but you're enjoying your best year in the game.
Enjoying the best year. For the last, you know, I used to make 40,000 a year and 20 with horses, and then I forget what year, like I said, 12, 15 years ago, I started going over a million with just claimers and went a little stake here and there, which was great for me and for the, so every year I've been over that. Once I got to $1 million in purse money, every year I got over that. So it was good. It's really, and this year I done with Tyler, I got over a million at Prairie Meadows, and that's the first time I did it there. I'm usually, you know, 600, 700, 8, you know, but this year was, he put us over the million mark. $1,299. So it turned out pretty good. I was like, what? You know, I kind of thought that'd be pretty cool to get over $1 million at Prairie Meadows. Because the money, you get a lot of checks there, a lot of short fields, and it's a good place to make money because there's not 12, 14 horse fields, and you can run. You can run often and a lot of good races. The Ironbreds, they really make first to 40,000. For our bed, so that's good money. You can get up there pretty good if you got some decent horses there. And when you're always making a few dollars, it adds up, you know, little here and little there.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Turned out pretty good. Yep.
Wow. This is about as great a story as is going right now around the game, and just couldn't wait to get you on to talk about it, Tim. Tyler's Tribe already at Keeneland. Gonna head for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, 5 for 5, Sharp Azteca gelding that was bred by Clifton Farm and Derek Merkler in Iowa. And, of course, they've got to be absolutely thrilled on their end as well to have a horse make it like this. Tyler's Tribe, we'll have to get, you know, I think Kylie, I think I had Kylie on when she got her first win, actually. And I got to look that up. I know I had a couple of bugs over the last couple of years. I think she was on with us. So excited for her too.
Yeah, she's good. She really she's really good for, you know, I mean, just starting out. She's done really good. She's won two titles already. So yep. At Claremore and in the Prairie Meadows this year, she's doing well. She rides good. I think she rides good. I think if she got the horse, owner texted a couple of days ago and said, well, I hope that Kylie can beat some of the big boys there, you know, the riders. I said, well, if we brought enough horse, she can, you know, because she's a good rider. I mean, I think she rides good. She went a few at Oakland Park and then took the title at Claremore, shipping over, and then the title at and Alex Burson, some of them, Corbett and Elvin and Ken Tohill, them are good veteran riders. And Cincheri, Alex Cincheri. I mean, there's some good riders there. She had a really good meet there. Beat them by 4, I think. So that was, I was proud of her. I was glad to see that, you know. She's upcoming. This is a good story on her. We chose to leave her on early on this horse, and this will help her too if he runs well for her in the Breeders' Cup.
Well, you got her named on Riverboat Gambler at Keeneland tomorrow. Tell us about the horse in the first.
Oh, yeah, she's on him. He looks pretty good in there. He's run. I claimed him at Oakland, and he went up there and run some good races. And then the last race, he just didn't fire for some reason. But I think he looks pretty good in that spot. And she's on him. She knows him. She's been riding him some, so she knows him. So maybe he'll, you know, the 7/8. He comes from off of it, so might be a little more ground for him to. He's been running third to Mystery Man, and I claim Mystery Man for 25. And you know, he's been running like seconds. I'm sorry, he ran three seconds of that Mystery Man, which is a nice horse. He was 4 for 4 at Prairie, and then I run him back, and he runs second that day. He bled, so he's just got to get a little time. But he's a really nice horse, and Riverboat Gambler run 3 seconds to him, so he's not a solid horse. I claim him for 8 at Oakland, and he's been pretty good.
How about that? The claiming frenzy. It's like a piranha pool when it comes to those to dropping it at Oakland.
Oh yeah, you never know. We claiming horses. I claimed Adore You quite a few years ago for Rodney Morgan for 12.5 there at Oakland. That year he went on, made $177,000, won the Glass Slipper, the only time they had at Ellis Park. And then it's kind of a funny story because she made $167,000. I got to Keeneland. I run in the Buffalo Trace, and they had this ride up. They said she just picked to run last. They said she's the end of the Cinderella story, and she runs third, gets to be 3/4 of a length, and like she almost tried to win it. It was pretty good. So you can get some good horses at Oakland Park, all them claimers.
Tim, this is a delight, and I'm really just tickled for you and for partner Tom Lipick, as well as, of course, Tyler, as well, the namesake. What a nice boy. It just occurs to me, there's two of these stories. There's also Cody's Wish, of course, for Godolphin and Bill Mott that has a similar kind of theme to it. You know, horse named that's great. It's great for the game.
Yeah, it is. It's good for it. And it's all, yep, it is. It's good, you know. I'm glad to be a part of it, you know, this Tyler's Tribe run we're having. So it's been great. I mean, couldn't ask for no better so far. So we're looking for bigger and better things here.
Keep it rolling. The Breeders' Cup, this will be one of the real nice stories heading to the Cup. Tim, look forward to seeing you at Keeneland in a few weeks. And it feels like it won't take a lot to keep him healthy and happy. You're just a wonderful, wonderful story. And hope it has a fairy tale ending.
We hope so. And we appreciate it. Thanks for having us on. And we'll keep up and try to. Everything should be good, so we're looking forward to it. It's a new experience for us, but it's exciting, so we're all excited about it.
Tim Martin, everybody, from the Martin family, and boy, we're gonna have a double dose of Hot Springs hospitality when Dave Hill joins us later too. And so can't call the Martins natives; they relocated to Hot Springs, but. Pretty much, you know, once you drop roots in Hot Springs, you're locked in. We're locked in for this first hour. We should really take a break. Casey, let's step out. We'll come back. Got to get to Mary Rampolini. We got Sean Clancy. We got so much to do yet. And, that's one of those stories I can't pull up from a story like this. Too good. As we go to the break, played out to the break. Let me tell you a little bit more about what we've got this weekend. New York, the Vaz came up light. Five horses, Southern District for Chad, and Norm Cash shows up with Jalen Cherney, who just ran, and Eastern Bay. Mott's got Elite Power for Judd Mott. And Drafted, who becomes kind of the karma sentimental horse as we root for everybody that gets heisted. The Matron drew a big 12-horse field, the repurposed two-year-old sprint on the grass. Looking for Dance Macabre in here, Kelsey Danner's winner from Kentucky Downs. Kind of see her kind of jumping off the page. The Joe Hirsch, two from Chad, two from Clement. And then Graham Motion, Bill Mott, and Tom Albertrani. Bye-bye Melvin. The nice Bye-bye Melvin in here. I like Bye-bye Melvin. Warlike Goddess, who you read this week, was going to take on the boys. Adamo for Chad. Astronaut, Tom Albertrani. Rock Emperor for Chad. And then the two prominent Clements, Soldier Rising and Guffo. So there's your Saturday stakes in New York. They will draw today, and you can look to the Beldame on Sunday with the Futurity and the Knickerbocker. That's the Sunday. Another couple of good days of cards. I mentioned the Woodbine action. We'll talk to Ron Gearkink tomorrow. Good field sizes, 9 by 9 by 9 by 10 in the sequence. There's also the Woodbine Cares earlier on the card, which they've created in the last couple of years. The E.P. Taylor, some of the prominent players. Moira, how about Moira showing up in here for Kevin Attard, who also sends money for Roe. Brad Cox adventuring. Rogier for Chad. He also sent Lamista up for the E.P. Taylor. Cassie's got Fevrover outside. Andreas Stark shows up with My Lady, the German bread. Brendan Walsh, Flirting Bridge. Henrietta Topham. That's the field of nine for the grade one E.P. Taylor. Always good. So let's take the timeout. Mary Rampolini is going to join us. We're going to get a glance at her Breeders' Cup divisions as the DRF Breeders' Cup section kicked off yesterday. Back after this at the races.
It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day events,